By national standards, voting in Illinois is relatively easy, but a barrier still exists for many in the form of financial insecurity.
Oftentimes when you are under-resourced, the most important thing is not who is the mayor, it's what are we having for dinner.
That's League of Women Voters board member Jamila Wilson. I'm Daniel Musisi, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio.
Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WCBU.org.
Today is Friday, March 26th, and this is WCBU's On Deck from Peoria Public Radio. With Peoria Stadium in need of major repairs, a multi-million-dollar effort is underway to modernize and revitalize the historic venue. Joe Deacon reports.
Dan Adler has a vision for the 125-year-old Peoria Stadium, and that vision involves key upgrades and year-round events. Adler is the chief organizer of Peoria Public Schools' Stadium Improvements Committee. He says the site is a major community asset worthy of preservation and increased use.
A relatively low level of activities, very regular activity, high school football games, adult softball games, those have their seasons and they stick to them pretty well. But in terms of expansion and growth, there hasn't been a lot in recent years, and that's something that we're hoping to change.
Adler says one upgrade that would make the stadium more capable of hosting events throughout the year would be installing an artificial turf field.
We think that's a great investment and will offer itself to hosting a bunch of other activities that maybe don't have a logical home today. There's a lot of sports that are, you know, involving cricket, lacrosse, that could leverage a large artificial surface.
Adler says more immediate needs are repairing the visitors' bleachers, upgrading the scoreboard, and addressing the grandstand's plumbing system. He says a $5 million state grant represents a big down payment toward all the improvements they hope to make.
We'd like to take a balanced approach to investing money to preserve some of that rich history and also add some new assets that maybe reflect the community's, I guess, more recent needs.
The stadium will host a 5K run and fun walk fundraiser on April 10th. I'm Joe Deacon.
Here's some more stories that are on deck in the WCBU newsroom. Peoria area farmers are optimistic heading into the 2021 planting season. The reason behind the positive outlook is high market prices for crops, particularly due to high Chinese demand. Peoria Heights is rolling out a third round of small business COVID-19 relief with up to $10,000 available per business able to demonstrate need. Find more on these stories and others at WCBU.org. With a local election around the corner, Peorians can rest assured that registering to vote and casting a ballot is relatively easy because of Illinois' election laws. But at least one major barrier still exists for some residents, with studies showing a correlation between financial security and voter participation. WCBU correspondent Tori Dahlhoff looked into how that may impact voting in Peoria.
Of the 43 states recently reported by the Brennan Center for Justice to be facing a wave of new bills aimed at tightening voting rules, Illinois is not one of them. In fact, Illinois is one of the easiest places to vote in the U.S., ranking fourth on Northern Illinois University's Cost of Voting Index. Peoria County Board of Elections Executive Director Thomas Bride said his office does what they can to live up to that ranking.
We try to make it as simple as easy as possible for voters to be registered. And we've always promoted the vote by mail, which I think will make it easier for some people to vote. Even if you're not registered, you can show up on Election Day and register and vote.
So why then don't more people vote in local elections? Last November's national election drew ballots from 69% of the city of Peoria's registered voters. The 2017 local general drew a mere 18%.
It is fairly easy to vote, but half the battle is getting people to know why they should.
That's Mariah Cooley, a community activist in Peoria, currently studying political science at Howard University in Washington, D.C.
It's the local elections that are going to affect your lives on a daily. It's, you know, the policies that are being put in place here. It's the money and the infrastructure and the rebuilding our communities.
But the reason that some in Peoria opt out of local elections may actually be due to the barrier to voting access that's created by economic inequality, something that voter registration drives alone can't tackle. A 2015 study by the Pew Research Center showed a strong correlation between financial security and political engagement, and that people with greater financial insecurity are far less likely to cast a vote. That connection appears likely in the city of Peoria. A review of the 2017 local general election results showed that 9 of the 10 precincts with the lowest rate of voter turnout sat within census tracts that had a poverty rate above 30%. That's in contrast to the 10 precincts with the highest turnouts, all of which sat in census tracts with poverty rates below 18%.
Oftentimes when you are living in communities of poverty and under-resourced, the most important thing for them is not who is the mayor, it's who, what are we having for dinner? You know, are we going to be able to keep the lights on? Will I be able to pay for my grandmother's prescription drugs?
That's Jamila Wilson, board member of the League of Women Voters of Greater Peoria. She says there's always a need for more civic education to increase voter turnout, but the greatest impact will result from addressing the root causes of economic inequality.
So the more that we increase sort of access to ownership, increase access to living wage jobs, increase access to health care and education, so if those basic needs are met, then it gives space for people to want to be more engaged and involved and invested.
If economic inequality creates a barrier to having a voice in local government, that barrier may be disproportionately felt in Peoria's Black communities. While Black residents represent 27% of the city's total population, 43% of those in poverty are Black.
I don't think that most Peorians realize, you know, they hear about the systemic racism and the redlining, but I don't think Peoria applies it within our own community. I think Peorians think they're exempt because we don't see the blatant displays of racism or of those economic gaps, but people are complacent because they think, you know, these bigger, deeper systemic issues that've been going on for decades and hundreds of years don't apply. And that's something that we need to change the narrative of.
But changing a local narrative takes many voices, and that's something Wilson says is the key to Peoria's future.
That's what's going to be the revival of Peoria, is a united Peoria, a Peoria that involves all voices.
And on Tuesday, April 6th, Peorians will have that chance to have their voices heard in a local election. For Peoria Public Radio, I'm Tori Dahlhoff.
For more on the upcoming election, find our voter guide at wcbu.org. And before we let you go, Five Points Washington, the Peoria Historical Society, and Art at the Bodega are all hosting in-person and virtual trivia nights tonight. The Peoria Symphony Orchestra Food Drive is tomorrow from 10 to 2, and the Finding Your Voice Virtual Vocal Workshop is tomorrow at 3. And that's it for On Deck today. Thanks for being here. I'm Daniel Musisi. Support for WCBU's On Deck comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at wcbu.org.